Listen to me, you coastlands. Pay attention, all you people from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he kept me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. "For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. My Lord says, 'It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I give you as a light to the nations, so that my salvation might go to the end of the earth.' Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." The word of the Lord from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49. My message this morning is called, "Who, Me?" Theologian Karl Barth wrote that if we stand on the sidewalk and point to the sky, everyone around us will look up. That is the job. That is who we are as Christians. Or rather, who we can be as Christians. When our behavior makes people notice and wonder, how does he have such patience? What makes her so kind? Bystanders will wonder, what is in our hearts? Who taught us such unreasonable love? But wait a minute, you say. How did we suddenly get an assignment from something that was written 2,500 years ago? Many Christians think this Isaiah passage applies to Jesus, that "I will give you as a light to the nations," to the non-Jews, the Gentiles. That's the task of Jesus, who will be born 500 years later. In Isaiah chapter 48, just before today's passage, the author clarifies that Jacob, also called Israel, is the name for all the people, the house of Jacob, the descendants of Isaac's son Jacob. Jacob was renamed Israel. But to be honest, some of this section is instruction to the people, and some is to the prophet Isaiah himself. Why are you telling us this? Because Yahweh told me to say it. This middle section of the book of Isaiah was written during the Babylonian captivity, the years the people had to endure far from home in Babylon. So it includes scolding about why they were being punished, instruction in how they might correct their behavior, assurances about the road back home, and consolation about the Holy One's unending mercy and steadfast love. So parts of this are clearly about the author. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. Prophets are not welcome. They are the vice principals in charge of discipline, the bearers of bad report cards. Here Isaiah blames God for his sharp tongue. Then he whines, as we all do, but just a bit. In the same line, he finds his answer. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. Then the prophet, who is charged with leading a troublesome people back home, wrote this. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant to bring Jacob back to him, that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. The Lord says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. Bringing the chosen people back to Jerusalem is too small a job. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Now, is that the duty of the prophet or the people? Or does it matter? I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. Are you a light to others? Have you met those people who make others feel better, who make others want to be better, just through unhurried attention and kindness? Maybe that was your grandmother or a favorite teacher. You wanted to make her proud. You wanted to be like her. How did she catch it, that loving way of being? If this order, this word, was just for the author, why even write it down? Why would he need it recorded? What if the light to the nations was not a small brown prophet 2,500 years ago? What if you are the light to the nations? Years ago, when I first went in front of a committee on ministry, one pastor asked me why I was a Christian rather than a Buddhist, a Jew, or a Muslim. I said, because my parents were Christian. Apparently, that's the wrong answer. But the truth is, the faith is catching. Oh, if you'd never heard of religion, never been in a church, you might feel something stirring as you walk through the dappled sunlight of a woodland trail. You might find yourself in tears, overwhelmed by the glory of a sunrise. Your soul might flutter within, but would you have the words with which to frame that miracle? Without other people of faith tilling our ground, the hallelujah chorus would never come to mind. Thank God would never cross your lips. So, whether or not you think light to the nations is your job assignment, no one new will follow Jesus without guides on the path. No one new will come in here to learn without an invitation. No one new will pick up Christ's banner to challenge an injustice or work toward peace without an example, a witness to light the way. That does not mean you have to preach. It may mean not hiding your work. I am baking for a funeral dinner because all my gifts belong to God. Want to help me haul our church's food to the pantry? You think scientists cannot believe in God, but you might like Evolution Sunday next month at our church. Your witness might be as deep as how loving God has been with you. Or it might be as light as, Berg's Concert Choir is singing in worship February 2nd. Can I pick you up, take you with us? If you are a light to others, you might need to lift the lampshade a bit. I believe each of us was created and named by God to bring other people home, to light their paths, engrave their invitations. You did not get here on your own. Your mother, your grandpa, your wife pulled you here, gave you a glimpse of what it is to give and love selflessly. They shared what a joy it is to sing, to read, to feast as one. Can God really want me? Could Jesus actually forgive me? Will someone sit with me? People here smile and shake our hands. They ask our names and make sure they got it right. We are surrounded each week by evidence that we are worthy. We are treasured in God's eyes. Isaiah wrote, "Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Did you mean it when you said, "You inclined to me and heard my cry. You drew me up from the desolate pit and set my feet upon a rock. You put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare to you. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Let your steadfast love and faithfulness keep me safe forever." Yet, how would anyone know to look up if we didn't point? Amen.